Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached 400 episodes on Altered Geek. This is not counting the video show, but the audio podcast, according to my records and according to Spreaker, before this was released, it was listed at $3.99. So this is episode 400. When did you start this show? 2014?
2013.
2013? Yeah. So 2013, almost 10 years of Altered Geek, 9 years of Altered Geek. Did you think by 9 years, number one, you'd be doing this show, and number two, you would hit the 400 episode club?
No. Yeah. Although, I to be fair, I did think I was going to hit the 400 mark.
A lot sooner.
A lot sooner. So.
Yeah, the pullback is aiming for 500 at this point. We just released episode 472 of the pullback, and I already have 473 through 480 recorded, so.
Nice.
Yep. Altered Geek 400. Yay!
Yay!
So, it wouldn't be an Altered Geek monumental moment without bringing up something Bat-related.
Of course.
I'm Batman.
Another embargo?
Nope. No embargo. So the beautiful part about this is that I was doing some digging and I saw a pretty awesome picture of Michael Keaton in the bat suit.
I'm Batman.
Mm-hmm.
In the new bat suit. And it's very, very similar to the old one, which is what very I like cool about it. And the funny thing about it, his new bat suit, is that it keeps the yellow bat symbol.
Yep.
The cowl is very, very similar. But then it changes up the rest of the bat suit. Like some of the looks of it, and the belt is black instead of the gold or yellow.
Yeah.
And I've seen there was a sneak picture somewhere, and I for the life of me, can't remember where I saw it, but I think it was on Facebook, and can't remember the guy's name, but he makes this particular guy makes molds of the various bat suits.
Oh, very cool.
Sometimes for studios, sometimes for sale, but he's been working on this one for the Keaton costume.
Right.
And I was pretty stoked to see it because it was like a comparison showing what the different bat suits looked like. And he honestly, like, I still don't know how he's going to turn his neck. Like,
they had this problem over 30, 40 years ago.
And it doesn't look like they changed anything. Like as far as the bat suit head. Yeah, Regardless, I'm happy to see Keaton return to the role. It's one of those things that, here we go, I got it.
It's one of those things it's beyond classic at this point, because he was the first live-action Batman that was dark and serious. While Adam West will obviously be all about the campiness and the whatever of the, you know, the comics and whatever and all that. But Michael Keaton was the guy, along with Tim Burton as the director and everything else, who redefined Batman in 1989.
Yeah. So I dropped, and I'll have you put this in the show notes or the end of the episode. They, you know, because this is, to me, this is the ultimate Batman live action.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, yes, did I like Affleck because of his suit and how he looked and everything? Yes. However, that being said, this is my live-action Batman. That Keaton was always that for me. And
yeah,
just like Kevin Conroy is my animated Batman. And so,
yep,
the yellow emblem still there. They changed kind of how the cowl looks. Like, it's a little bit more...
It's a little bit more Adam West.
It's a little bit more Adam West. The legs are definitely padded out differently as far as what you can see. The belt looks very reminiscent of Returns, but it's, again, it's like a black...
it's all black. You can barely see it. It blends in.
The suit has more of a blue tinge to it than black. And then he's got this thing that, like, his chest armor is almost kind of plated, but it's not muscular.
Yeah.
It's more, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Batman Animated Series.
Yeah, a little chest. Bit. I think what they're doing here is they're taking multiple cues and homages from 66 animated series and other things. Like, I'm looking at his leg here, and his leg and where the left side of the stomach, like the centerpiece on the stomach, it looks midnight blue versus black, and that's fine. It is what it is. Now, this suit is for the
Batgirl film
appearance he's going to do in the Batgirl film, like you just said, you know, and... This is just me, folks. I'm very inappropriate, and I'm sorry. But from 89 to 2022, it looks like he's shrunk in certain areas.
They padded it out for specific reasons. Either that or the legs bulked out.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah. So anyways, well, he's got the luxury of being in his 60s and not having to deal with, working out to play the role.
And you know what, though? Every time I've seen him in films over the last X number of years,
he's still awesome.
Over the last decade, he is still an amazing, you know, actor. And he still has, like, again, I whenever we talk about Michael Keaton, I will always and forever reference 2014's Need for Speed, because he was the recluse monarch character in that. And even though he's just sitting there in a chair in front of a computer.
Kids. I'm looking at something that I can't quite believe. I mean, my inbox is white hot. I got a bunch of trolls sending me footage of something that is mind-blowing. I'm looking at footage of a car that supposedly disappeared. It's the same car that Ford and Shelby were building when Carol died. I'm looking at a gorgeous ghost.
You can still see that he's, you know, he's not a fat oaf like me. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm excited for this. I can't wait to see him in it. It's going to be fun. What I also love about this Batgirl film thing is that they are using the Gail Simone New 52 Batgirl logo design. I think that's awesome. I think that's great.
Yeah,
is Gail's run in the New 52. Say what you want about New 52 in general, but her run on the New 52 comics with Batgirl was amazing.
Yeah, and I honestly am quite excited to see what they do with not only that, but with the new Flash movie where they've got Keaton and Affleck.
Yeah,
in the film. And obviously, you know, and they've also talked, there's another Flash that shows up.
Yeah.
Like another universe Flash or something. And so I'm definitely curious to see what they do here. But it feels like they mixed a lot of aspects of the suit. And to me, this is going to be fun, I think. And just, again, seeing Keaton in the role and the fact that he looks like an old man Bruce, like Batman Beyond. I think what we're going to end up seeing eventually is him playing that exact role that we've been fan casting him since the early 2000s and seeing someone come in and play Terry McGinnis.
I still want to see Conroy as old man Bruce, not year one or not whatever, not alternate Earth Bruce that like he played, but yeah, I don't know.
I feel like this is going to be good with.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not going to be good. I am more so though fan casting Kevin as old man Bruce than I am Keaton, but that's just me.
Yeah. I can see that. So moving on, speaking of people reprising, Futurama is getting brought back from the dead again.
Oh, hashtag Bendergate.
Yes. Yes. I was going to say that, but you beat me to it. But I, to be honest, I don't blame the fans for being ticked off.
I don't understand.
Because okay. They're paying everyone else, the original creators, the writers, mm-hmm. all the other cast, and then they're like, eh, screw you, Bender. And then they recast him with a sound alike. Like, that's the biggest yeah. slap. Like, I know it's got to be something money related, but that's the biggest in the face.
Yeah.
To get recast in the role. And, like, the thing is the rest of the Futurama cast, it kind of speaks volumes that they're not willing to walk away unless he gets it. Like, considering that they were in talks.
Yeah.
But then, at the same time, it's kind of painting a mark, as it were, on the new actor playing Bender.
Yeah.
That it's probably going to tarnish his reputation with people for taking on the role. Whereas, like, Mark Hamill was like, you know, they haven't come to me, but if they do, I'm going to tell them flat out no.
Yeah. I mean, the thing of it is like, I only watched a few episodes of Futurama. It's come back twice now.
Which is surprising.
Came back once, and now it's coming. So here's my thing. It has nothing to do with any of the Bendergate stuff or any of the actors or contracts or whatever. This is 2022. When did that show originally premiere?
99.
Okay. It's over 20 years old. Came back once. Great. Amazing. Awesome. Was John in the original comeback?
Yep.
As Bender?
Yep, because they brought it back on Comedy Central.
Right, okay. So, it is now 2022. I'm sure that there is a huge stock of Futurama. Like, I don't dislike the show. I just never really... I only caught episodes here and there, so I can't say that I'm a Futurama fan. I liked what I've seen of the show, but I'm not in that fandom, and that's fine. Why do they have to bring it back? Why can't they go out and do something else?
Creators wanted to bring it back?
Well, if the creators wanted to bring it back and they wanted to bring it back the way it was, then they should pony up and pay DiMaggio what he's worth, because that man is, like,
he's talented.
If I called his agent right now, I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but you know, during daylight hours, business hours, if I called his agent right now and said, hey, my buddy Steve's birthday is in June and I want John to do a whole bunch of cool Joker lines, how much would it cost? And they would say, well, it's $1,000 per line or whatever. You know, I don't know. Whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the creators are the ones bringing it back, and it's not like, good thing I tag all my podcasts, no matter what I do, explicit. If fucking Seth Rogen comes in and I can see, you know, something like that. But like, if it's the actual original creator, like, why don't they just pony up and pay the guy for the talent that he is?
Yeah, and that's what I don't know. It's Hulu.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why.
But I don't understand why they're bringing everyone else back and not him.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's no logic.
I have no idea. No clue. What else we got?
Well, they revealed the Bridge of the Enterprise on Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Remind me how many Star Trek things are coming out. I know Prodigy and...
So Prodigy is out. It's a Nickelodeon show. And honestly, the writing on it is probably the most solid out of any of the Star Treks we've gotten that have come out of Kurtzman.
Okay.
And... which is because he's not really involved. It's a different crew that's taking that on over at Nickelodeon. And honestly, the animation and that whole dynamic is just really well done. And plus it's kind of just more grounded in normal mm-hmm. Star Trek isms, whereas mm-hmm. Discovery was the one that spun all this garbage off. And say what you will, like, it was supposed to have a different vision under Brian Fuller, who was involved with previous Treks, and then they there were a lot of creative differences, and he left, and then Kurtzman kind of was the guy.
Right.
And I feel like he's part of the problem. But that being said, so there's Discovery, which is kind of a running train wreck. And
okay.
Then there is they have the short Treks, which they were doing in between seasons, which they're still kind of doing those, but not really. It's so they've got that. They've got Star Trek Picard, which it was okay in elements of season one, but there was a lot of it that left a lot to be desired. It just poor writing and the you know, MacGuffins and the quick, convenient plot contrivances, and it just it didn't make a lot of sense because they even admit it, because they kind of cobbled it together at the last minute. And
so there's like six overall things.
So there's Discovery, right? There's Picard, there's Lower Decks, which is the animated one by the Rick and Morty guy.
Right.
Then there's Prodigy. There's Strange New Worlds coming, which is debuting in May with Captain Pike and Spock and Uhura and Number One and the crew of the Enterprise before Kirk. So that's the one I'm looking forward to, because that one's going back episodic. And it's going to be more grounded, more like the original series, more like TNG, like where it kind of kept the storyline of the character going, but then like every episode's like a message in a bottle, so you don't have to watch like the whole season.
Right. So it's not full on
not serialized.
Yeah, it's not serialized.
And so that I'm really happy about, because there's, you know, like the old Treks, I feel like I could go back and watch any episode just out of pure enjoyment and don't have to feel like I got to watch like the whole season to understand it.
Except for Enterprise.
Yeah. Well, Enterprise wasn't that bad. It honestly wasn't. It was serialized somewhat, but it wasn't really.
Right.
DS9 was more serialized, but which is funny because they claimed Discovery did it first. And I was like, no. Deep Space Nine did it first, guys. And they did it better.
Yeah.
There was actual like character development involved in there, and yeah, they made it work. But so anyways, there's those five. And then they have a Section 31 show in the making, which is basically Star Trek Spies and Black Ops. And and then we have Star Trek Starfleet Academy, which is going to be focused on, you know, kids entering Starfleet Academy kind of thing. I think it's going to take place in the Discovery timeline because of the way they've set everything up. So again, not hugely thrilled, but you know, we'll see.
So in total, we've got seven Star Trek things either currently doing stuff or upcoming.
Yes.
We have seven Star Trek things.
Not to mention that they're rebooting the, you know, J.J. Abrams universe. Not really rebooting, but continuing it.
The fourth film, yeah. So, okay, so let's just say we have eight Star Trek things, and yet we get one Transformers cartoon series this fall? Like, seriously? Come on, guys. Like, really? Does the world really need eight Trek things?
No.
Whether it's new fans or old fans or, you know... Like, and I know these are all not going to all happen at once. They're all going to be spread out and whatever, hopefully over the next couple of years or whatever it is. But like, man, there is such a thing as too much of a good or a bad thing. And Star Trek is on overload, in my personal opinion.
I agree with you. A lot of it's not enjoyable anymore, to be honest. So I actually prefer the animated stuff at this point. And that is until Strange New Worlds debuts in season two of Picard, because season two is going to have some different dynamics going entirely.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, but there's also Paramount having the Star Trek film poised for late 2022 production start with the crew of with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, Carl Urban, and John Cho and Simon Pegg. Reprising their roles for a fourth film. They don't really say what, because it's kind of gotten thrown out a couple times.
I still have not watched Beyond yet.
What's funny is they critically panned that one. I found it the most enjoyable since the reboot. Like, Into Darkness soured the waters for me, and then Beyond was actually an original story.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they destroyed the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And they commandeered another ship.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the rest of the story was so original, I genuinely enjoyed the story.
Yeah. I, like, when they first announced, I think it was maybe 2008, that you know, JJ was going to be doing Star Trek and all this. When 2009 hit, I was kind of excited because, again, I think I've said this on this podcast before. I know I've said it on other ones. I am a casual Trekkie at best, and for me, TNG and DS9 will always come first above all else because I just... TOS is too much 60s television, 60s style television making for me, and I understand that was the times and the whatevers, but point is, I'm a casual Trekkie at best. But when I saw that first trailer, the very first full trailer of the 2009 film, I've seen that film more than any other Star Trek thing I have ever watched in my entire life. I enjoyed the hell out of that film for what it is and what it was. Star Trek Into Darkness, I mean, they might as well have called it The Return of Khan instead of Wrath of Dark or Into Darkness.
Well, I loved how they called him John Harriman.
Yeah. As if,
like, oh, he's not Khan. Like,
he's not Khan.
And then, like, you're like, no, it's Khan.
No, it's Khan.
It was a terrible con, you know.
Yeah.
They tried to con us, but it was a terrible con.
It didn't work. Yeah, it was a terrible con. I mean, if you're really going to try to grift us and con us, you got to do better than that.
Yes.
Paramount and whatever else.
Yeah, a bunch of con. All right.
So that's the Trek stuff. What else you got?
I don't know if you've caught this. This is funny to me. I'm more ways than one. EA.
Uh-huh.
Is dealing with the fact that there's a petition going on to have people get their money back. And it's...
Oh, Lord.
There's like 25,000 signatures now at this point. Because the game is so full of bugs. Like, the game is so trashy. And as somebody who's played previous iterations of Battlefield, like, I played Battlefield 4, awesome game. I still play it. Mostly because I like to, you know, the destructive environment. I like the, you know, the stuff. Like, I'm just pretty good at it. Then there's Battlefield 1, and it gets more realistic, and there's more, like, it takes you back to, like, the World War II, World War I era of kind of fighting and the elements there. I think it's more World War I. And then I enjoy that one as well. Then they get to Battlefield 5, and then they started kind of adding too much bloat to it. Like, it just felt kind of... It wasn't as well received as, like, Battlefield 1. And then they come out with Battlefield 2042. And so, if you're not familiar with the Battlefield franchise, they have various classes that serve various purposes. On purpose, they have, you know, your assault, which are those are the guys that you send running in with, you know, guns blazing, ready to go, and just kind of they're your combat guy. And then you have your medics, which they have weaponry too, but they're mostly a healer. And then I don't know the technical terms as far as, like, MMO RPGs and what they call them. Like, I know tank, medic, and then there's, like, other stuff too. But then you have your sniper, which is, like, recon and stuff like that. So, like, they're scoping out stuff. They're picking people off from afar. And then you have an engineer, which is what there's five classes. So there's engineer, and then... So they do, like, the tanks. They do the repairs on the weapon or the... vessels, and they have some pretty high impact stuff that destroys those same vessels on the enemy team. And then you have support, which is basically kind of a combo of, like, almost engineer with assault. And so, like, you get other kind of close up stuff and far away stuff. And so all five of those serve different purposes in the game. And they had them all the way through until Battlefield 2042. And in that game, they decided to make it more like Fortnite.
Oh, boy.
Where they cartoonized those characters. They nerfed them all. They're all the same, but they changed the visual. And then they talk. And they say something stupid and unintelligible when you select them or when something happens in the game. Like, there's no... like, it's like, why? Like, what purpose does this serve? Like, other than the fact that you probably got somebody that worked on... Now, you had... You remember those Facebook games?
Yep.
That went around for a while? Well, one of the guys that was the team lead on Battlefield 2042 had never worked on a first-person shooter before, and he worked on one of those on Facebook. Got hired somehow to be the director of this program. And then immediately after it launched, he had an offer to leave and go somewhere else.
My God.
Like, it was just so convenient how it all worked out. And so the game looks cool, but there's so many glitches and bugs in it. And as far as the fact that, you know, the launch of the game was not very good. People hated these new quote unquote classes and the fact that they just nerfed like the old system. You can't join the game like you could with the old ones to, because I've heard some of this from my dad and my brothers. You can't join the game. Like, you used to be able to go into the menu of the game, and if you were friends with somebody, you could join them directly in the game.
Right.
No, you can't do that anymore. There's no waiting room anymore to try and get into the game. There's no, like, it's very much like, and they expanded the amount of players in the game. And then, so there's so many different like issues going on. Like, you can be standing point blank, blasting somebody and they should realistically fall down and die. They don't. Like, and you're at point blank range and there's like nothing happening, or like you're in a hovercraft and it all of a sudden like glitches through the wall or glitches through, you know, or flies so high in the sky that there's just nothing you can do about it.
So this game is essentially Wreck-It Ralph with Vanellope.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's totally glitched. Broken. It's totally broken. And EA did this like town hall with their company. And acknowledged the finally acknowledged the disappointing launch of 2042 and its latest thing. And the biggest takeaway from the call was that, you know, it was 2042 and they spent time discussing it and, you know, the successes of the past ones and, you know, where they've missed and, you know, they failed to, they're discussing how they failed to meet player expectations and, they're blaming it on the engine that they decided to use, saying that it was an old engine. And another reason for the failure was the work from home environment, which they were trying to like gum it up like Fortnite, make it more cartoony, more colorful, and not like, I don't know. They were trying to make it more like inclusive in a sense or something with these like avatars when it's like not about that. Like you're literally like running around popping people off. Like it's not a game where you're really like that invested in that. But there were so many bugs and so much lack of polishing and so little that actually functioned that people just were like, yeah, I'm done. And just like a lot of the people that I know that played it because of how buggy the game was. Like, I mean, you could be standing there trying to shoot something and then the whole thing would glitch out like Wreck-It Ralph. Mm-hmm. The game performance was terrible. The design was terrible. The expectations, they beat up these expectations and then on launch, it just was terrible. And so, yeah, they have a guy, they have this thing called Portal or something in the game where you can go back and play older levels that have been updated with this new Battlefield. You can go back and play like old versions or parts of older Battlefield games. But like, that's the only shining thing out of the entire thing.
That's horrible for a game that cost how much?
$60.
Yeah, no.
Which is why, like, see, I do this whole thing. Like, if I'm going to get something, I wait till it's on sale. I'll wait for it, you know, a year. Like, and my family's like, yeah, we tried playing it recently. They're like, it's terrible. They're like, so we're playing this, there's like this new free Call of Duty game. Mm-hmm. And they're all playing that instead because it's it works, it's not glitched, and it's free.
Yep.
So
see, this is why I will always like the closest thing I get to multiplayer anything. I don't care if it's RPG or if it's VGA or HDMI, whatever. The closest thing I get to multiplayer is Mario and Mario 3 or Sonic 2 or something. Like I am not a multiplayer game person. I would rather sit here by myself playing a single player campaign versus getting online and worrying about what every other person in the entire world that's on the server is doing. And oh my God, I shot Joey and I wasn't supposed to. Whoops.
Yeah, there's sometimes that happens in my instances, but
infernal technical difficulties, and just when the show was getting interesting.
And I don't know how many bad versions of Battlefield there are, because I've never really been a Battlefield person, but, you know, you look at all the games Mario has released, I'm sure there are plenty of ones that no one wants to play anymore. You know, you look at Zelda, you look at Metroid, you look at whatever. You look at Metal Gear, same thing. Like, there are plenty of bad versions of Metal Gear Solid out there somewhere. You know, it is what it is, I guess. And it just sucks because, again, they're asking you to put down your hard-earned $60 for a game that they are telling you is going to be awesome. It's going to be the next big thing. You're going to really enjoy this game. Come give us your hard-earned money. Sorry, we're going to give you a shitty game. Whoops. You know. It's just so frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so, yeah, this is, again, why I don't buy video games.
Well,
so
this is why I'd rather go on my Google Pixel 6 Pro and play, which I've already paid to have full access to it, so I only had to pay once, and it was $5. I can go on here, I can hit Super Mario Run, and I can sit here and run through the various levels on that and have fun on my phone without having to worry about a video game system or disc or cartridge or streaming or whatever they have on video game systems now. I don't know. I'm an old fogey, folks. Can't you tell?
Old fogey. He's an old man.
That's right.
Yes. So, Quantum Leap is rebooting.
No!
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, they're rebooting it.
I probably saw it on my Google feed. Why?
Yep, so... So the new Quantum Leap is casting. Currently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're casting for diversity.
Okay.
So they're saying that, you know, the different opportunities, all that stuff, the plenty of diversity is being asked for in the casting opportunities for the new show. The main character of Sam Beckett was originally played by Scott Bakula in the 1980s to 1990s show. Now the rebooted series is calling for the new Dr. Ben Prasad, new character, to be played by someone of like Asian American or Pacific Islander or Middle Eastern descent. And then the role...
So it's a reboot, but it's not a direct, like, they're not taking Sam and Al. They might be taking the concept.
They're taking, they're rebooting, but it's like more like a soft reboot. Okay. They're continuing it in a sense. So the role of Ian Wright is also being described as Quantum Leap's non-binary chief architect of the AI program. And he's meant to be the character who gets more along with computers than human beings, than the role. You know, then there's another role for Herbert Magic Williams, which is supposed to be a black man in his 60s and going to be the grizzled Vietnam vet. The guest star role would be some girl in her 30s. The new reboot sounds as if it's going to be like more of a brand new take on the classic Quantum Leap. The plot for the new series sees the original Dr. Sam Beckett being lost in time someplace while a host of new scientists and doctors restart the Quantum Leap program. And the idea is to understand more about the program and the doctor who started it all. So Dr. Ben Prasad then uses the time traveling program on himself and is transported back to the 80s and is struck with side effects of amnesia, making him forget why he had time traveled in the first place. And it sounds
okay.
They're like, it sounds, and this article, it says that it sounds like an episode of the Stranger Things. More than that, it says there's no saying whether Bakula is going to make an appearance, but it's not been ruled out. The idea behind, you know, is the whole thing is again the same as the 80s one. It's just that,
If Bakula makes an appearance and they want him to be lost in time, he could be in the pilot episode and that's all he has to do, kind of thing, I would think, but. Yeah, I don't know. And the funny thing is, I just found my, I believe it's my Mill Creek set of Quantum Leap. Aw, dang. So, Dean Stockwell, who played Al in the show.
He passed away.
He passed away last year. 2 days after my wife, after Karen passed away, he was 85.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Bakula's looking pretty old now.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's, what, 50s, 60s, something like that? I don't know.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, he's 67.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm just, like, I don't know. I've been over reboots for a long time.
I can see that.
You know, I'm 42 years old. You're 37, 38, nope, however hell
35, you are. Turning 36.
Whatever. Same thing. You're 36? Anyway.
I will be.
I know. You know, I'm 42 years old. Okay. We grew up at a time where things were... At least most things were, like, again, you take Cheers, you take Family Ties, you take The Cosby Show, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you take all those family sitcoms we had in the 80s. Yes, there were family sitcoms in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But you take all of those shows that we watched, all of those sitcom shows, like, you know, Cheers and Frasier and all of that was original stuff. Beverly Hills 90210 was an original thing, you know, from Aaron Spelling. Same thing with Melrose Place. And even those have had reboots of them, but it's like, it doesn't seem like, and I've said this, it doesn't seem like they're trying to do anything new. At the same time, what they do try to do new doesn't appeal to the mass audience. Like, it doesn't do as well as whatever. I mean, Stranger Things notwithstanding, kind of thing, because that show is more of a, it's an original thing, but it also, you know, heavily, you know, goes back to the 80s and does the spooky and whatever. I don't know. I don't watch Stranger Things, so it is what it is. I wish that every other news article was not, this is being rebooted, this is being remade, this is being, you know, a continuation. Like, come on.
No.
Like I'm gonna go back to 2014 and reboot Mass Mayhem to re-review the old cartoon show that we were... No. I know, I'm an old fogey, folks.
Yeah, I get it. I'm kind of over the whole reboot thing, too.
Like, okay, I just saw a news article about Amazon Prime's Upload Season 2, because Upload is Season 2 is finally coming, I believe, in March of this year. Like, when I first saw Upload Season 1 a couple years ago, I was like, oh, this is, it was like literally right when we started Studio 2009. This is cool. This is interesting. This is fun. This is a new thing. This isn't, you know... a repeat of something, or, you know, trying to, it was interesting. It was fun. It was, even though it's kind of a depressing show because, you know, you're trying to decide whether you want to be buried in the ground or be uploaded into that, into heaven or whatever the hell, you know, I don't know. It just, it's a head scratcher, folks.
Yeah. Well, there's not an original bone in Hollywood's body anymore. So,
because most of the people in Hollywood are old and bony at this point.
Well, or there are people like us that like, oh, I want to create it for a new generation.
Some things are, and most things aren't. Again, I know I've said this before. I look at the CGI He-Man and the Masters of the Universe on Netflix, the CGI version, not the Revelation version. I look at that, and I saw that first season, and I thought, it's 1982, 1983, all over again, because I felt like I was, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old again watching the original Filmation He-Man. Yes, it's not the same animation style. Yes, it's not the same voice cast. It can't be the same voice cast. Some of them have passed away and whatever. But it feels like, okay, this is where I could put my son, you know, sit him down and say, okay, here's He-Man. Let me know what you think. And just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sigil of Hiss?
Becoming king is great, but becoming a god does have a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
We need to stop Skeletor from finding the sigil and raising an army of snake soldiers from the dead.
Is someone down there?
All of Eternos needs your help.
As man, machine, or monster?
Skeletor needs to be stopped here and now, for Grayskull. And for all of Eternia.
For all Eternia!
You urchins are almost too adorable to destroy.
Think a little combo attack might slow him down?
Thought you'd never ask.
We have the power!
There are no good and bad guys. Just power.
He-Man, make all the noise you want, kid. You're out of time.
No! Do it!
Masters of the Universe, all your power on me!
We have the power.
Action and intrigue, that's more my speed. Onward, heroic warriors.
It's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, actually.
We can settle on a title later. To adventure!
It's a new existing property, but new generation. And that's the interesting thing about He-Man is every time they've done a cartoon show, just like Transformers, it's always something different, but has a little bit of familiarity to it. So you get Filmation in the 80s, which obviously is the gold standard. You get the New Adventures, which was, okay, a little different. You get the 2002 reboot, which updated animation, but still had, you know, Filmation styling a little bit, but did the stories differently, whatever else. And then you get, you know, both these Netflix things with Revelation. Well, you get actually three Netflix things with She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, plus the Kevin Smith one and the CGI one. It's all varying different versions of the same property. And it's all like it's not all one same thing kind of thing. And I think that's good. I think that's interesting. You know, again, they should be catering to both parts of the demographic, both parts of the audience, us old fogies that want 1983, 1984 back, and then figuring out how to take the lore of He-Man and give it to the current generation of children like we were 30, 40 years ago.
No, and I get it. I mean, it is what it is. They're gonna reboot it. They're gonna do what they can to try and milk it too. But, I don't know. I just wish that instead of trying to cannibalize something that's old and create something somewhat new, like just more so just so they can push different envelopes and, you know, check different boxes and try and make something out of the old show. I would just rather see them revive or use the concept and create a new show.
Yeah, and I think that's what they did with the CGI version, but that's just me.
And yes, are the original fans going to not like it? Yeah, that happens with every show.
I didn't outright hate it, but I didn't like. I wasn't on. Like I said, my takeaway from it is, okay, this is for
the new generation.
This is for me 40 years ago. If I was 2 or 3 or 4 years old now, 5 years old, whatever. Yeah, that's my ultimate takeaway of it, and that's, I don't know. Like I said, cater to both parts of the demographic if you can. If not, I guess we'll just have to move on and find something else.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think that's about all I got.
Yep.
For the day.
For episode 400.
400. Yes. So, I guess if people have anything they want to hear us talk about on the next episode, they can let us know by sending an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com, or they can get a hold of us on Twitter. What is your Twitter name, sir?
TFT1 Mike.
And mine is @SCP21. And yeah, so until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.